Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Horse Geeks podcast, where we look at horses and riders from the inside out. Thank you for joining us. I'm Kirsten Nelson, professional horse trainer. And with me is Deb Romero, certified Alexander Technique instructor, and so much more. So today's topic is we get more of what we focus on. Now, what does that mean? And actually, what I wanted to introduce in this podcast, kind of picking up from last time, we talked about my dad having triple bypass surgery at 85 and how movement is important as we age. But also, one of the things he was sent home with from the hospital, I found fascinating. It was just a little couple of pages about the importance of starting a gratitude journal. And I went, why are they sending this home with a heart patient? So I'm going to share, I won't share the screen, but I just have to look at it to actually read the document. And unfortunately, the author of this is not listed anywhere on the paperwork that went home with my dad. I was really searching for it because I'm not sure who wrote this. There's a quote in here of another Rick Hansen, who's a neuropsychologist, who actually, I think, won the Nobel Prize for some of his work. But I found it fascinating that this gratitude journal was sent home with my dad in the context of helping him heal and for his health. So I think I'll kick off today's podcast with just sort of reading directly from the page. It's not long. And then maybe we can pick up our conversation from there. So whoever the author is, I'm just sick. I can't give him credit, but starts off with confession. I've always been a little skeptical of the positive thinking movement and the idea that just doing daily affirmations made me a little nauseous. Just being honest, I'm totally on board with this guy. Like I go, I've seen a lot of positive thinking and gratitude and frequency or vibration upgrades or whatever just become denialism. And I go, your horse will sort that out for you real quick. So he goes on to say, but then I learned about two key concepts that changed everything, negativity bias and neuroplasticity. So negativity bias is the term scientists use to describe the innate human tendency to focus on negative experiences and stimuli. This is biologically hardwired cognitive bias that helped us survive in the natural environment that we evolved in. That really hit me. I go, this is a biological tendency that we have to focus on the negative. And he goes on to say negative experiences were often threats to our survival. So our distant ancestors that were most attentive to these and able to learn from them were the ones that passed their genes down to us. Wow. On the other hand, positive experiences, while enjoyable, don't contribute much to our odds of survival. So they don't carry the same weight and importance in our brain. So then he quotes neuropsychologist Rick Hansen, puts it this way. Our brains are like Teflon for positive experiences and Velcro for negative ones. And I go, wow.
Oh, that's awful.
Yes.
I got to write that down. Teflon.
Teflon for the positive and Velcro for the negative.
And Velcro. They stick. Oh.
They stick. But when I read that, I go, oh, so there is such a term as negativity bias, which describes our innate biological need to notice the things that are wrong as a tool of survival. So I found that fascinating because it really took the kind of the personal pressure or what I would call new age guilt off of focusing on the wrong things. You know, I go, I can't help it. The shit that's wrong is right here. It's in front of my face. How can you not notice it?
It's coming up in your brain. It's not just in your face. It's chemically in there.
Right. And what finally made sense to me then about a gratitude journal or writing down daily affirmations or whatever is that we have to, just like with our habits of movement, we have instinctual uses of our body that help us survive in fight or flight. But then there's a higher learned coordination as we understand what is more mechanically, theoretically better for our bodies. And then there's all those uses of our bodies in between. So biologically, our body will organize for survival without us thinking about it too much. And our attention to the negative is part of our biological survival. So we actually have to, like what you teach with Alexander work, is develop awareness and then conscious control. So we actually have to work and focus our attention to improve our mechanical use and to focus on or remind ourselves that there are probably an equal or greater amount of positive things happening in our life. At the same time, a negative one is getting all of our attention. And that to me, it's like, oh, okay. Now I understand a daily gratitude journal is helping us just focus and notice what's positive.
Yeah. And I was doing some research and I don't know why I came across an interview between Mio Morales and Robert Rickover, who are both two master Alexander teachers. And you're not a master until you've been teaching for 20 years. And Mio brought something up that I really brought it to my attention along the same lines. When people would talk about their problems or their pain, he saw a noticeable difference that they would shorten and get shorter.
Or hunch or shrink or
shorten muscles. But when he would ask them, he coined this phrase, I love it, where else do I seem a bit easy? He would ask the people like the gratitude journal, start, where are places that you're using yourself well? Where do you feel places that are easy? And then keep looking for those. And he noticed that the person would kind of lighten up and actually get taller. So I found that very interesting research this weekend.
And we've talked a little bit about finding the path of least resistance is really the key to training horses, because horses want to feel good, want to feel safe. So kind of that, it's the same thread as focusing on what is working, focusing on what is easy. We can build that direction just as easily as we can go head to head or toe to toe with a problem.
Like going head to head with a 2-year-old and a temper tantrum. Yeah, that doesn't work.
You're not winning that one.
No.
No. No. And part of becoming good with horses is we have this, you know, predatory human species with this prey animal equine species, and it's not a natural relationship. So we have to work to overcome our instincts in many ways. And we're asking the horses to override their instincts all the time. We ask them to get in a trailer. That's counter to their instincts. You know, we put them in a stall. That's counter to their instincts. We walk out and put a halter on their head. That's counter to their instincts. So, you know, that relationship of horse and rider is really one where we're constantly having to redirect away from instinct and use more conscious awareness. And same for the horse.
Yes.
Right. And I think the gratitude journal was really kind of the same idea, that we are hardwired to notice what's wrong. And we have to put effort, conscious effort, into focusing on what's also going right. Now, why would we need to do that? And I'm going to share some more from this gratitude journal. And I'm just quoting from it directly what this guy writes. So I left off with the neuropsychologist Rick Hansen puts it this way. Our brains are like Teflon for positive experiences and Velcro for negative ones. If this sounds like a recipe for unhappiness, well, it is. And it's one reason that depression and anxiety are epidemic in the modern world. But here's the good news. We can rewire our brain for positivity and happiness. Neuroplasticity is the now proven principle that we can change the structure and the function of our brain throughout our lives, and that our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors are the primary means of doing that. Neuroplasticity means
that again, our thoughts. Say that again about thoughts and.
So it's one big long sentence. So I will read it again. Neuroplasticity is the now proven principle that we can change the structure and function of our brain throughout our lives.
Okay.
Wow. Like that's a big thought. Just like
that's huge.
We can change our physical appearance by how we consciously use our bodies. We can also change the structure and the function of our brain throughout our entire lives, which brings us back to the last one on how we work with age, right? And then says that our thoughts, emotions, and behavior are the primary means of doing that. So paying attention to what we're thinking, feeling, and doing are how we can literally change the function of our brain throughout our lives. Then he goes, best news ever, right? Neuroplasticity means that we can overcome our inherent negativity bias and rewire our brains to pay more attention to the positive experiences we have. So negativity bias equals unhappiness, anxiety, depression. Positivity bias equals happiness, contentedness, and zest for life. But how do we rewire our brain? And he says, I'll be sharing a lot more in the next weeks and months to come. But he said, one of the most powerful evidence-based methods is a gratitude journal. So writing down what we're grateful for on a daily basis shifts our attention away from negativity and towards positivity. This changes the wiring in our brain, which in turn leads to changes in gene expression and cellular function throughout our body. Eric Kandel won the Nobel Prize for this discovery in 2000.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. What do you like? That just literally blew my mind.
It sort of makes sense in the Alexander community, because the original question we would always ask each other in class was, what comes first, the thought or the action? And what always comes first is the thought, whatever that thought may be.
I would say unless it's instinct.
Right, right.
So, instinct, I think, is where the action comes and then the thought.
Yes.
But you're talking conscious control.
Yeah. That even when I want to walk to the door, there is a pre-programmed pattern that I've created that
through
my
repetition.
Brain tells my, yeah, that my brain tells my body what to do. So if I don't interrupt that and look at it and bring it to conscious thought, I could be using myself badly, or I, you know, that consciousness, bringing it to the conscious is the only way you can change it.
Yes. And I think that's what the idea behind the gratitude journal is it helps us realize, are we focused on what we don't want? Or are we focused on what we do want? Because whatever we focus on, that's where our energy goes.
So what would be an example of what we don't want? Yeah, what would be an example of focusing on what we don't want?
Like, oh, you see it all the time.
Something like,
go ahead.
No, like, oh, my horse always does blah when blah happens.
Yes.
Fill in those blanks. My horse always does blank. When my horse always spooks at white plastic bags.
Right. And that can become an obsession with a rider, where the horse does a million other things great, But that one thing that they don't do well can become a fixed focal point, right? And it can just be, it can become a little obsessive. So the example I was going to give was when we use what we call aids, we have a seat aid, rein aids, leg aids. When we create resistant forces with our body, we're basically saying, no, don't do that to the horse, right? So when the horse is either not balanced or not doing what we want, how much are we saying, no, don't do that, as opposed to our contact, which is a release of muscular pressure, says yes to a horse. So the absence of action says yes, and the action says no. Right. So when we're focused on what the horse is doing wrong, we tend to go, no, 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 no. And sometimes there's no relief between those no's.
And I imagine a shortening comes with that, you know, in our bodies. When we're saying no, we're probably tensing somewhere.
Yes. And my apologies. I just got a little window that said my internet is unstable. So we might have to talk slowly or repeat if we have little freezing.
Okay.
I have no idea why, but it just told me that. So let me go back to this gratitude journal where it says this changes the wiring in our brains, which in turn leads to changes in gene expression and cellular function throughout our body. So Eric Kandel got the Nobel Prize for that discovery in 2000. It goes on to say, these changes can be significant as indicated by a 2016 pilot study in patients with heart failure. The patients were split into two groups. One received standard care and the other received standard care, but also did gratitude journaling. The results were remarkable. The patients who did gratitude journaling saw a decrease in inflammatory markers, CRP, TNF-A, IL-6, I don't know what those are, and an increase in heart rate variability, which corresponds to a decrease in the stress response. In other words, just writing down what they were grateful for each day reduced inflammation and relieved stress in measurable ways. I went, oh, so we could all use more health tips.
And that reminds me, because my dad had his first quadruple bypass when he was 45. And I was only 17 at the time. So what the instructions they gave him was, you've got to lose weight. So you've got to exercise and this and this. And they never took into the component of what in Alexander we would say the psychophysical things that go on, like improving your thought
Sorry about that, guys. We froze. So we're going to take that from the top, Deb.
Take
with
it
your
from
dad.
Yeah. So my dad had his first quadruple bypass when he was 45. I was only 17. And I remember all the information that he was getting was just about being fit, get physically fit. There was nothing what we call in the Alexander community called a psychophysical thing, like this gratitude journal. There was nothing about that. And he had his second quadruple bypass at 65. Not to say that that had anything to do with it, but they weren't making the connection between thinking,
feeling, and health,
and feeling, and how the psychophysical process is so important to overall health.
So I have a photo bomber here. There we go. It's a newer term in science, this study of, let me see if I get this right, psychoneuroimmunology.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Well, gonna have to look that up.
because we can't really separate the brain from the body. We can't separate what we feel and think from how our body mechanically functions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, taking in the whole of it is super important. And thoughts and feelings change our actions. Yes. They also change our biochemistry. So like now we know how dangerous it is to maintain elevated, what we call stress hormones, adrenaline, cortisol, norepinephrine, that kind of thing. It's like those are the stress hormones flowing through our body on too much of a regular basis can have all kinds of negative impacts. So I really, like, I ended up, let me go back to this gratitude journal one more time. And he wraps it up with just saying a gratitude journal isn't hard to do, but as you can see, can lead to significant positive changes, not only in your outlook on life, but in your health and well-being. So he gives a couple of options, like you can obviously do it on paper with a little book. And what he recommends, oh, I found his name. So the guy who wrote this is Chris Kresser, K-R-E-S-S-E-R, LLC. And he's based in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I'm sorry, Chris, you now have credit. I didn't see that before. I guess I was looking too hard. But there are now these apps, and there's one app that developed out of the pilot study from 2016 called the 5-Minute Journal. And then there's another app called Grateful, a gratitude journal. So I downloaded the 5-Minute Journal, and I'm on like day 19 trying it out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And what was interesting, the thing I didn't expect that sort of caught me by surprise is, number one, it's super easy. So it's on my phone and I get an alert twice a day. It asks you to write down 3 things you're grateful for, maybe a thing or two that you're going to do that day to make today great, and something positive that you want to remember. Could be an affirmation or something you want to think about yourself. So it just takes less than 5 minutes. You fill it out, and then it has a PM little notification where you go in and say, what made today great? And
oh, that's neat.
Yeah. And what was interesting was, you know, I started to realize when you open the app, it keeps pulls out one thing you wrote that day and puts it in a running list by date. So all of a sudden I had this list in front of me of all these things to be grateful for. And I was like, oh, that's kind of the power of it, because you just put it in as you're thinking of it, but it keeps this list for you that just kind of pops up when you hit the home screen. And I went, oh, I had quite a lot of things to be grateful for.
It's like the snowball effect.
Yeah.
That's what came up in my head. Oh, that's the snowball effect. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I'm not disciplined about anything other than getting my work done. Like, I'm very good at that, but meditating, time for myself, pampering, not so good, right? So the journal on the app was great for me because it didn't take a lot of time. I can carry it with me. I can stay consistent. And it gives me at least 5 minutes out of a day where I can recalibrate what I'm thinking of. Because, you know, some days you wake up and since 2020, we're just bombarded with negativity constantly. And I go, that 5 minutes twice a day has really helped me feel better, because it's just a very quick reset of going, what am I giving my attention to?
Yeah. And that, I'd really like that, because most days I feel like a fireman. I get out of bed and my pants are right there. I'm like, okay, let's go.
Yes. What am I going to accomplish today?
Why, let's get out there. And, yes. And having that permission, and we did this once as an experiment in Alexander School of Cooking. We all had to make this meal. So this was 6 of us. We couldn't talk to each other. And every 15 minutes, we had to pause for 1 minute. So it really ingrained in us about having pause and having that interruption of to say, okay, well, wait a minute, like the app, oh, let me just check in, you know, because we don't give ourselves permission to do that.
Right. Right. Or we're constantly thinking of what's out there and forgetting about our internal world.
Yes.
But our internal world sort of determines, like we've talked about the reticular activation system of the brain before, that our what's going on internally really affects what we notice in the external world. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, I had a really sad reaction to this whole thing with Russia invading Ukraine. And I just thought, how terrifying war is, mm-hmm. right? Terrifying. And then I paused and I looked around and I go, as terrible as that is, the squirrels are still out looking for food. The sun is still shining. The trees are still growing. Like at the same time that there's terrible things happening, there's also good things happening. And I'm not in the war zone. So this is, you know, I'm not saying that's the appropriate place for a gratitude journal, but it's like, if we're not in the war zone, we probably have a lot to be grateful for.
And I actually watched some interviews of some of the Ukrainian people, and they are very robust people.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really cool to see that they were, you know, like, we're here, we're going to do this. And I thought, wow, that's really powerful.
They're fighting for what they love.
Yeah.
They're fighting for something they deeply value, which is their freedom and their democracy, their sovereign nation, their independence. And it'll be interesting because the Russians are fighting for a dictator.
It's so dynamic to look at that for me. Because I really liked the interview with the Ukrainian people that I saw, just a few people today. And I was really impressed.
Yeah.
With how strong they are.
Yes.
For lack of a better term. But like you said, the love, for what they want, they're going to stand up for it. So.
And it's kind of an extreme example of what we value, what we pay attention to, what we hold dear, what our intentions are, changes everything.
Oh, completely. You know,
it's David and Goliath. And it's like, you know, but they're not giving up. And it's, you know, with horses, I think sometimes we just get into sitting on the pity pot because our horse is giving us problems. And we forget either how far we've come, that our new problems are so different from our old problems, or we just keep focusing on what's wrong and forget all these other things that are right with that specific horse, especially. So what we look for is what we usually find.
And I totally agree. If we look for a problem, it'll pop right in your face.
We'll find lots of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what I really liked about, now I have to look at his name again. Did I say Chris? Whoops. Yes, I think it was way at the bottom. Chris Kresser. What Chris Kresser says, the way he put it about the gratitude journal and how we are hardwired to focus on what's wrong. And we really have to put conscious awareness, conscious focus, conscious effort. Mm-hmm. To remember the positive things in our life or the positive things about our horses or about ourselves as riders or just feeling lucky in general because we're not living in a war zone. I go, all of those things, you know, we have to consciously look for that. And then we see more because I think the more you look, the more you see. And that must be what he's talking about with rewiring the brain. And I go, if nothing else, a happier life, happier experience in life, or a happier experience with our horses, no matter what we do with them. And as a health benefit, we could all use immune boosting after 2 years of back-to-back COVID waves, right? I go, I'm all about anything that helps my health right now and boosts my immune system. And that was something I didn't expect to find, but it went, oh, well, that's easy enough to do if it helps my immune system and makes me feel better.
And I've heard from a lot of horse people how grateful they are that they've had their horses during this time.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, we really have to be grateful that, you know, in some mornings, I don't, you know, owning your own farm, it's in your face every day, but, yes. But I, you know, I've been waking up and saying, gosh, I'm so grateful that I've had this. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in an apartment or not have my horses to go out and be around during this time.
Absolutely.
I've weighed 400 pounds by now.
Well, and even what we talked about in the last podcast, staying in motion is part of what keeps us healthy. And particularly when I'm tired and I have another horse to ride, or I've got stalls to muck, or I have to unload 50-pound feed bags, it's like, oh yeah, at least I don't have to go to the gym.
No.
I don't have to go to the gym to get my workout. And staying in motion, being aware of my motion, I go, I will be thankful for this the older I get. I will be thankful that I had this must do every day. I don't have to pay a personal trainer to push me. They have fur, four legs, and they eat a lot. So
mine are starting to shed. Oh, let the shedding begin.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
I know. I need to make a video of my sparkling horse with my hair disheveled and dirt all over my face and how we usually look when we're grooming. It's about that season. So anything you want to add? Like, I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is knowing that we are biologically hardwired to focus on the negative. First of all, it took away any self-blame I had related to me thinking of myself as a negative person when I get mired down with problems. And I go, well, it's a survival mechanism. It's there for a reason. Thank you very much. But I can also balance that. I don't have to make it go away. Survival is important.
Yes.
So I can thank it. I can integrate it. I don't have to subjugate it. I don't have to pretend it's not there. I don't have to deny it. But I can think of balancing it with also the positive things going on concurrently.
Yeah, I can really, that's just feeds right into my work, because those habits, once you're aware of them, are going to come up. And it's not that we make them go away. They're there.
Yeah.
But do I have new tools to help me go in a positive direction of change?
Right.
And that's the same thing as the gratitude journal and realizing that this is a mechanism we have within us, but it doesn't have to be controlling our entire being. It's part of us, but not all of us. It's
right.
It's kind of like what Mio was saying, if we focus on the pain, we're going to get more of that. But if we focus on what's going well, we're going to get more of that.
Yeah. Or at least it kind of puts it, like, the pain grabs our attention. It's there for a reason, but we can learn to manage it by focusing on something else. And it's the same thing with a fearful horse. If the horse gets scared and we get scared and we both look at the black stump, things are going to erupt in a bad way. Right.
It reminds me of a herd of deer. Look at that. Oh my God. Look at that.
Yes. Yes, that's instinct at play, right? Absolutely. And then conscious choice is redirecting it, not pretending it's not there.
Exactly.
It is there. It's there for a reason. So our focus on negative things, it's there for a reason. It's part of survival. But I think with a gentle thought of, could I just keep that in balance?
I like that.
So that the scale in my internal emotional world isn't tipping so far that way. Mm-hmm. It, you know, because that's where we start to suffer with depression, anxiety, low grade survival mode all the time. And it's not healthy for us. So,
and I'm sure it's not bringing too much to our relationship with our horses either. If we arrive at the barn with those thoughts.
Yes. Yeah. And horses who learn through comfort and release, they don't understand constant negativity, which would be, well, we'll talk about it at a different point, that there are what's called positive and negative reinforcement, but that doesn't mean good and bad. It's positive.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Positive reinforcement is giving a reward during an action, and negative reinforcement is interrupting the action, not giving punishment, just interrupting the action. And I think knowing that we have this sort of instinct towards negativity, whether it's with our horses or just ourselves in our lives, I think in every ride, like if we kept a horse training journal, the problems are the first thing we're going to write down. Just like with you, people want to speak about their pain issue first. And we don't want to minimize it, but we do want to balance it. And say, yes, that's going on, and we'll find solutions, we'll find ways to work through that. And at the same time, what can you also notice that's easy, or that's going well, or that's mm-hmm. going right? And I think, like, I feel myself breathe just saying that, right? I feel my breath deepen, I feel a little bit of calmness, I feel my muscles relax by going, it's not good or bad, it's not right or wrong. There's a problem. Okay, it's there, something I don't like, but there's also this other thing.
I like that.
So anything to wrap up with?
That sounds good to me.
Sorry, the kitty will not leave me alone today. So anybody who's actually watching this podcast.
That's why I'm behind closed doors.
I know. I forgot to duct tape her to the wall before I started. Very friendly. All right. Well, thank you guys once again for joining us for another Horse Geeks podcast. We hope you liked it. Please share, like, subscribe, all of that. Make comments. And we hope to see you next time for another Horse Geeks podcast. Thanks, everybody.
Be kind.
Bye.
Bye.